This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. And we begin today with a message from the Roman Catholic Dean of the Island, Canon Philip Gillespie, who says, "Our sincere condolences to the Roman Catholic communities of Ramsey and Peel on the sudden death of their much-loved parish priest, Father Brian O'Mahony. Father Brian has given unstinting and generous service to the island for almost 30 years, and the sad news of his death last Monday is still sinking in. His presence, his wisdom, and his dry but gentle wit will be a sore loss, not only to the parishes, but also to the island community in general. For many years, he served as Roman Catholic chaplain at the prison in Jerby, and in that role was a well-respected and valued colleague, not only to the ecumenical chaplaincy team, but also to the prison officers, and indeed a caring and compassionate friend to the prisoners themselves. His death is a shock and sadness to us all, not least to his fellow priests on the island and the members of the Congregation of the Holy Spirit, the order of priests to which he belonged for over 50 years. Canon Philip goes on to say, "It's most fitting that Father Brian celebrated so recently the Easter Day Masses with his people, and he himself spoke the words at the blessing of the Easter candle. May the light of Christ, rising in glory, dispel the darkness of our hearts and minds. We could take this almost as his final prayer for us," says Canon Philip, as he goes before us now, marked with the sign of faith. That's the Song of Farewell by Ernest Sands, often used at the end of a Catholic funeral mass. Father Brian's funeral arrangements have not yet been announced, but Canon Philip has said that one of the bishops from Liverpool will be attending. And we said another farewell earlier this week with the news of the death of Moya Brennan, the Celtic folk singer, songwriter and harpist from County Donegal, whose voice has been described as one of extraordinary beauty. Moya came to prominence as part of her family's band, Clannad, which formed in 1970 and later included Moya's younger sister, Enya. The group found mainstream success with this haunting theme tune for the TV series Harry's Game, set in Northern Ireland during the Troubles.
Thank you.
Moya Brennan went on to enjoy a hugely successful solo career, recording her first individual album in 1992. In the years that followed, she sold millions of albums and toured all over the world. But she never forgot her roots, and it was widely known that she was most happy when being among family and friends back in Donegal, and loved helping young musicians in their professional careers. She also actively supported and promoted a number of charities. For example, she worked for the Christian Blind Mission, making numerous visits to Africa and supporting their work there. But there was another aspect to the life of Moya Brennan that I discovered when I had the chance to talk with her following a concert she gave in the Gaiety Theatre in December 2005. I found her honesty, her passion for her faith and her trust in God still so powerful that I thought it was worth hearing again. I hope you agree. So this is Words and Music from the late Moya Brennan.
I grew up in County Donegal, which is northwest of Ireland, and I grew up in a family, Catholic family. My mum and dad was the choir masters and the organ player. So I grew up with music in the church and that. And they brought us to Mass every Sunday, whether we liked it or not. When I look back at it, it was so important to have something in my life when I needed when I needed to turn to something, you know, looking for something, because we all look. And I really get worried about young people now who don't get a chance to go to church. And, you know, they look in all sorts of corners. But with the upbringing with my parents, God was in our family, there was love, there was music in our home. The Clannad years, and I suppose people would have thought us being a nice band, you know, and it was kind of contemporary folk band. But, you know, you're talking about the early 70s when there wasn't so much kind of warning against drugs and drinking, you know, especially particularly drugs. And I got into a bit of a mess. You know, you'd be touring and you'd be going all over Europe and you'd meet friends in different cities because you built up, you know, you started in clubs and then you went to halls. But the friends that you met in these cities, it was only one night for them, but they wanted to party. And so you ended up nearly partying every night. And I got into a terrible regime. And, you know, I didn't think going to church was cool. And, you know, I just sort of said, no, no, no. And, you know, between spending years on drugs and drinking, you know, drinking away, and when you close that door at night and you feel the loneliness, I didn't have any peace in my heart, any kind of quietness, any sort of happiness, really. And even though people would have known me as a happy-go-lucky girl, I was the soul of the party and everything, but it was all hidden inside. And even my family, you know, when I wrote a book about my life, it wasn't something I wanted to do, but when somebody said to me, it might encourage women particularly, I thought, well, then that would be the reason that I would write it. But I learned a lot about myself while writing the book, and it was the hardest thing I ever did. And some of my sisters even said to me, I didn't really know that this was happening inside you. So I had a failed marriage that lasted 18 months, and I then became very much out and about and picking up guys and all sorts of things. And then I had a miscarriage at the beginning of 1987. And afterwards, I had to find something. I was really desperate. And this is what was important about my parents bringing me to church, because I knew where to turn to. And I found an old prayer book that my grandmother gave me, and I started to pray. But I'd go in just to any church. It didn't matter to me what kind of church it was. I'd go into church, sit at the back, and just talk to God. And I noticed little things happening to me that, you know, there's so much sadness in the world, but, you know, God will listen to everything. Even if you think, oh, look, the starving children or whatever, that's important, but so are you to God. And that's when I noticed in little things. And the prayers were answered. And it's really important if you do pray to realize when they're answered as well. So I just started to pray. And it wasn't that it was an overnight thing. It took me ages. I was still drinking a bit, still doing some drugs. It took me a while. He gradually brought me on a path that sort of strengthened me.
My life understands the silence from within. My heart will demand, keep me near you. My love in your hand,
was at the beginning of 87 and August 87, and I didn't pray for this, but I met Tim, my husband. And, you know, God has a sense of humour as well, because I'm brought up as a Catholic in a rural part of Ireland, and he's from Cambridge, from a Protestant background. But, you know, it was amazing. We learned an awful lot from each other about our prejudice even that we had without us knowing about it, you know. And it was an incredible learning for myself and for Tim. And 3.5 years later, I was able to get a divorce and we got married. And it's been just amazing. I know, because God's in our marriage, because God's in our life, that is so much part of it. I mean, I could sit here all day telling you about what God has done in my life. Tim and I know, and I go to a Christian church in Dublin, and I've had the privilege of being invited to lots of things in Northern Ireland, and I never refuse anything in Northern Ireland. I've sung in a Presbyterian church. It was like right opposite Stormont, and it was like some of the elders were even in government and everything, and I was there with Gaelic songs, with pipes, with, you know. And you must remember, they don't call themselves kind of Irish. So it was a real challenge to me and myself, you know, and we just prayed about it. I've sung in the cathedral within the same year, in the Catholic cathedral and the Protestant cathedral in Derry. I've been invited to Ballymena, which is a very staunch Protestant area, to a woman's gathering. There was about 400 women there. And what they were thrilled about was Catholics came as well, because, you know, they would regard me with Clannad and my background to be one of them. And I feel very privileged to be in a situation that, you know, I'm asked on both sides. Because for me, well, I'm sure it makes God very sad when we bickers so much about, you know, who's right and who's wrong. Because really, God is God, Jesus is Jesus, and that's what's really important. And for me, it's the main issue.
Like the starlight of crystal, holding sweet wine, like the laugh of a child when he knows it's home time, like the river to the heart of the sea, is your song to me. Like the willows that whisper in the breeze of the night, like the sound of a baby breathing softly at night, like the wild sleepy sun slipping into the sea, is your song to me. Like the wild sleepy sun slipping into the sea, is your song. Feel so unclean, like the guest at a banquet, despite where I've been, like a love that's so rich and deeper than the sea, is your song to me. Like a love that's so rich and deeper than the sea, your song to me. Your song calls to the light in the dark of the night. Your song bleeds through a life that cuts death like a knife. Your song breaks through the madness we play and blows it all away. I want to sing
I do feel that God has me in a place, and I still don't know what he wants me to do. I remember being on tour once and I'm ringing up to him and just saying, you know, I think God has asked me to be very much part of something that's part of Northern Ireland. And I didn't do anything about it for ages. But sometimes when we get messages from God, or we think we hear something from the Lord, or he's guiding us into something, I think he could give you a message, but it doesn't mean that it's then. Because I got really worried that I didn't do anything. And then a couple of things happened. When things do happen, the doors just open. And it's quite amazing. So I was quite kind of pleased with the fact that, okay, I'm ready to do whatever. And I hope I'm strong enough to sort of be able to take on and be in his army and whatever. But I do believe that he will guide me and open the doors when it's necessary. I mean, doing two Christian albums taught me an awful lot. I come from a non-Christian music background. And up to then, I was a musician that was a Christian. And then I did these albums, and it was fantastic. It opened more doors. But the last album that I did, which was Two Horizons, it was a secular album. For me, the story, it's still a spiritual journey. You know, for instance, people come to my concerts, and I know there's a lot of Christians come to my concerts and a lot of non-Christians. And, you know, you can feel when they talk to you, you know, what they mean when they're talking about certain songs. But taking Perfect Time, for instance, which is all about God's perfect timing. I remember one girl coming up to me once and saying, oh, I'm such a big Clannad fan, you know, I wish you wouldn't get into this whole spiritual thing. I love the sound, but I don't want you to become this Christian person. And I just said, you know, I'm really sorry, but that's where my life is at the moment, and I'm not ashamed of it. 2 years later, I got a letter from her, and she was working with Teen Challenge in Wales. So, you know, God is greater than anything we'll ever be able to put together. I mean, he's totally in charge. But he's made my life so happy. I mean, I love what I do musically. 2 weeks, I was in the Congo, and I'm patron of the Christian Blind Mission in Ireland. I'm there as a musician, but I know it's important to be able to be there as something else as well. Well, first of all, to be able to bring awareness. I have a program on the national TV. We had a camera with us, and I did a video diary as well. And just showing, going up in a small plane 4 hours from Kinshasa into a little village, and having some little boys coming back with me to get cataract operations, and seeing the bandages coming off. And I mean, that's in a nutshell, but like the time I spent there the weekend, and seeing all the other disabilities that they look after, and the doctors and everything. And I sang at their service. I sang Perfect Time. I'm so in love with Africa. Oh, it's just amazing. I'm back there soon again. You know, they're so poor, and there are people that go to church there are happy, and do you know what I mean? And willing to spend hours and praising the Lord and enjoying it. You know what I mean? And we're over here, we'll go to church and it's over now. Let's go and get dinner, you know, get lunch. And I know one thing's for sure is I wouldn't be here if God wasn't in my life. I wouldn't take on things if God wasn't in my life, because if I thought I was doing this by myself, goodbye. No, thank you very much. I mean, what keeps me going is when I get up in the morning and I know I'm not by myself. It's just amazing. It's so positive in my heart and that. And that's really what keeps me going. And so I hope I'm strong enough to kind of take the path that he wants for me. And I haven't a clue where it's going to. But, you know, as I said, I'm very blessed with a fantastic husband and two children, 14 and 12, a girl and a boy, Lashleen and Paul. And they're musical as well. But, you know, my daughter, for instance, she's now in her band and she's leading the youth band, you know. She's 14 and she loves just going into church and she doesn't want to miss it. And it's great. It's great to see.
Your son, in fact, was on one of your earlier albums, wasn't he?
He was. It with a prayer that was inspired by St. Francis. That great saying from St. Francis, go out and preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Even if half the Christians in the world focused on that and did that, you know, forgetting about other people, even if Christians worked it themselves, we'd have a fantastic world. And, you know, for people to see how we are, because it's so sad when we give out wrong messages. And one of the messages, you know, that hurts me very much is the whole thing with whether you're Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic or whatever, you know. And the sooner we realise that we have to respect each other. Once we realise, I think, that there is no such thing as a perfect church. There is no such thing as a perfect church. So once that registers in your head, then go and find something that will, you know, bring you, help you along the path to the Lord. I mean, the church we go to is fantastic. I could pick holes in it. But, you know, you go along with what's there and what's good about it. And then when I go down to Donegal, I'll go down with my mum's choir and be there in the Catholic Church. I think it's just so important just to be open to all this. I mean, my journey, my biggest thing is for just Christians to get along with each other. It's such a big, big love for me to break down barriers.
Na é a hortu. Merveran tu maunis. Yowie tu maunis. A hirna trodi mud.
I find it quite amazing when I'm writing myself and find myself being the third person looking at what's happening. I have done things that I can't believe that it's me, so I know it's God. It is a spiritual journey and it has drawn people in and I'm thrilled. I really am.
Be his amokula ariwornanu. Is
You've been listening to the voice of Moya Brennan, an interview that I recorded after her concert in the Gaiety Theatre some 20 years ago. This is the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, sung in Gaelic, Moya's first language. And the track before that was Peacemaker, featuring the voice of Moya's son Paul, who was about 4 years old when that recording was made. The other tracks featured during the interview were My Life, Your Song to Me, and Perfect Time. And as the priest said at her funeral mass on Friday, she may be gone, but the voice will remain. And now it's time to take a look at our notice board, and we start in Port Erin Gospel Church, where Reverend Samuel Fitton will be the preacher at their two services today, this morning at 11:30 and this evening at 7 p.m, with a warm welcome for all. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, there's an animal blessing and celebration of springtime at Ballykilferrick Chapel, just above Colby. All animals and their human friends and guardians are very welcome. And this evening, the Mariners' Choir will be in Bride Methodist Church at the usual time of 6:30, when Mrs. Sue Yardie will preach, with supper and community hymn singing to follow. On Tuesday the 21st, all the island's Mothers' Union branches will be gathering together in Braddon Church for their festival service, starting this Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. This will be particularly special as it's part of a year of celebrations marking the 150th anniversary of the founding of the Mothers' Union, and everyone is welcome. You don't have to be a Mothers' Union member to share in Tuesday's service. Also on Tuesday, but in the evening, Methodist minister Reverend Steve Ingrewell starts a series of 4 evenings entitled A Moment of Truth, Faith in a Time of Genocide, using scripture, history and experience to explore the cry of the Palestinian people. This follows on from Steve's experiences in Palestine and Israel during his recent sabbatical visits there. The sessions will be in Onchan Methodist Church starting this Tuesday, April the 21st, and each session starts at 7:30. Everyone's welcome. Onchan Methodist Church is on the main road with good parking around the church and a bus stop in both directions right outside. There's a different topic for each of the 4 sessions, and the best way to find out more about the sessions is to take a look at the Isle of Man Methodist Church website. Just go to methodist.org.im and click on the News tab on the homepage, and you'll find all the details there. Looking ahead to next weekend and on Saturday the 25th, the Ladies' Committee at the Grest Home in Ramsey invite you to a spring afternoon tea, served between 2 and 4pm. Admission is just £5 and all proceeds will benefit the Residents' Comfort Fund at the Grest Home, which is very easy to find on Andreas Road, Ramsey. Pioneer Minister Reverend Alex Brown is giving another 2 performances of his one-man show called Close Encounters, the story of his own faith journey. It's funny, honest and thought-provoking and suitable for all ages. He'll be in Sulby Methodist Church this coming Saturday evening, the 25th, starting at 7 p.m. and on Friday, May the 1st, again at 7 p.m, but this time the venue is St Ninian's Church here in Douglas. Both are free admission and both will be offering refreshments. And finally, next Sunday afternoon, the 26th, Bagarrow Chapel invites you to God in All Things, worship with a Celtic flavour and a little bit of Manx too, and refreshments to follow. And it starts next Sunday afternoon at 2:30. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown, and I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge for your requests, dedications, and a great selection of easy listening music. And so, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love all the joys and promises of this Easter season, and a very good morning.
Station, Manx Radio.